Nazir Perik Zayin, Mishnah Dalet 7-4, the last of the Perik. And our point of departure here is to explore this rather unusual halacha we saw in the previous Mishnah, that although certain things, most notably a revius, a quarter lug of blood that comes from a corpse, makes a person tame mida oraisa, that's true whether he has direct contact, maga, indirect contact bearing its weight, masa, or even just is in the same room as it, over, under it, or under the same roof as it, that's ohel. So while a person becomes tamei midoraisa from that revius of blood, if it happens to a nazir, even though the blood came from a corpse and he's tamei midoraisa, the nazir doesn't have to shave his hair and start again in terms of his count of nazirus. And that's quite peculiar and exceptional. That's a point of departure. Now, our mission is going to explore that a little bit. And the first thing the mission wants to do is consider a possibility that that leniency that applies to the revius of blood when it comes to the nazir, and also perhaps the bones, anyways, so should also apply in the context of entering into the Beis HaMikdash. So understand there's a rule of Doraisa, one of the 613, that a person may not introduce tumah into the Beis HaMikdash. There are various stages of proximity to the in the Mikdash and around the Mikdash, where different levels of tumah, tell me people may not enter. Okay, but the bottom line is on a Doraisa level, the threshold is that a person with any level of Tumah, even a Mechusar Kippurim, may not enter into the temple courtyard from what's called the Ezras Yisrael and inwards, that area of 135 almost, where the temple altar is, as well as the Mizbeach, as well as the Ulam and so on. You can't enter there with any Tumah at all. And if one does, so the consequences are, if he does it on purpose, so then he's liable for kares, divine excision. And if he does it not on purpose, b'shogeg, he didn't know he was tamei, he forgot. So then the consequences are that he brings a chatas offering, a sin offering. And the truth is, it's actually a variable sin offering called the olav yorid, depending on how much he can afford, whether it's an animal or birds or even a meal offering. In any case, what our mission wants to suggest here as point number one is the possibility that just as exposure to blood from a corpse does not make the nazir start again, that also a person who had exposure to a corpse in the same way, we'll call that the revius of blood, only one revius of blood, it's supposed to half a lug of blood from a corpse, if one had such exposure and went to the basement, that she should not be liable for the deraisa. That's the suggestion here. Amar Rabbi Eliezer, Mishum Rabbi Yeshua. Rabbi Eliezer said in the name of Rabbi Yeshua, Chol tuma min hameis, any tuma source that emerges from a, specifically from a corpse, shahanazir migalea chalea, that requires the nazir to shave his hair and start again, chayavan alea al bias mikdash. If a person who, even if he's not a nazir, he had such exposure to corpse tuma, and now in that state he enters into the mikdash within the Ezra Sirol, so then he'll be liable for the consequence of the Doraisa, Karis, or the Korban. Okay. But the inverse is, V'chol tuma min hameis, any tuma source that originates from a mace. And again, we're talking specifically about tuma source that originate in mace. We're not talking about, like, say, a Mitzora or a Zav, who, if a Nazir becomes a Mitzora or a Zav, we saw he doesn't have to start again, but certainly a Mitzora or a Zav who enters into the temple courtyard will be liable for Karis, etc. But if it's tumas mace, so let's focus again on the case of the revius of blood from a corpse, She'ein ha-nazir me'galei ha-chalea, which wouldn't require a nazir to shave his hair and start again. Ein ha-chayavan alea al bias mikdash. That also, a person who's in such a state of tumah, also shouldn't be liable for entering the Beis HaMikdash. The dinim are connected. Now, why in the world should they be connected? So there's a couple of approaches in the Mefarshim. The simplest approach is that we're talking here about a halacha l'Moshe mi-Sinai, a tradition we have that goes all the way back to Moshe, and it doesn't depend on any verses or any limud and so on, just the din all to itself. Which I mean, according to that approach, we've got on the table here effectively two independent halachos l'Moshe mi-Sinai. One halach l'Moshe mi-Sinai is that even though the nazir is tamei by exposure to revius of blood, maga masa ohel, still, if it happens to him, he doesn't lose his count. Why should that be? Halach l'Moshe mi-Sinai. Then we have a second halach l'Moshe mi-Sinai, which is that's similarly true when it comes to any person who has exposure to a revius of corpse tumah, maga masa, ohel, doesn't matter. if one goes in the mikdash, he wouldn't be chayav a korban from that alone. Fine. And it's two separate standalone halachos lamoshe misinai. There are other approaches. Possibly even it's a limud for the fact that the one pasuk says v'time rosh nizro, and it says also es mikdash Hashem time. So there's like a time gzeir shava that would tell you that the rules apply from one to the other. The Rambam has a different approach, that it's because it's only a Darabanan, this revius of blood. But anyways, let's keep things really simple here and straightforward and focus on the main point here. We have a lot to say still. That we're talking about two separate standalone halachos the Moshe Mishinai. Now, Amar Reb Meir objects this. He says, Lo tehezu kalim in asheretz. Reb Meir says this whole thing just doesn't make sense to him. How could it be that even the lesser, the least tuma sources, like a sheretz, of the avos tuma. Something a tuma source has to be at least what's called an av tuma. I can't translate that exactly, but I'll call it not just a primary source of tuma. So those are the things which make people as well as utensils tame. So there's a list of them. The least potent of all the avos tuma is the sheretz, just the dead, like rodent or reptile from that list of eight. Because they, if you are exposed to such a dead share, it's like a dead rat, so it only conveys tuma specifically by maga, direct contact, your skin touching the dead rat, and nothing else, as opposed to other tuma sources which can convey tuma more in more indirect ways. Okay, so the point is, even a sheretz, if a person touches it and then he goes to the base of mikdash, he's liable for the chatas, the levirid, or if it was or karas, it was mazed. So for sure, a revius of blood, which is makes you tame for 7 days and it conveys tuma by ohel and so on, for sure you should be liable if you get that kind of exposure for tuma and then go into the base of mikdash. That's Reb Meir's contention. The Mishnah doesn't even bother responding to it. The reason why is because, although that sounds perfectly reasonable, since we have halach lamosh misina that it's not true, so it's not true, okay, or a limud, whatever the story is. So therefore, although his logic sounds reasonable, if it's halach lamosh misina, the logic doesn't really make much of a difference. And the truth is, we'll explore that topic in just a moment in the rest of the Mishnah. But that's sort of the first, I'll call it, paragraph of the Mishnah, and the halach is going to be that indeed a person who has exposure just to revius of blood, magamas or hes or ohel, it doesn't matter, he won't be liable in the base of mikdash for bringing tuma there. That's step one. Now, step two, a new paragraph, if you will. So here, Amar Rabbi Kiva. Rabbi Kiva says, Danti lifnei Rabbi Eliezer. He says, I presented the following kol v'chomer to Rabbi Eliezer, trying to convince him that of the following. Ma im etzem kesa'ora she'ena matama adam ba'ohel. If it comes to a bone fragment that's just the size of a barley corn, that only conveys tuma by maga or masa, direct contact or bearing its weight, but not by ohel, not through the mechanism of ohel, so it's less potent relative to blood. And yet, hanazir migalech al magao val masao, the nazir who touches it or bears its weight, this bone fragment, he is going to have to cut his hair and start again. So then, revius dam. So then a quarter lug of blood, shehu mitama adam ba'ohel, that conveys tuma not just by mag and masa, but also by ohel. So you see it's a more potent source of tuma, this revius of blood. Eino din, doesn't it stand to reason from a kol v'chomer, logic, I'll call it for lack of a better term right now, that isn't it seem that it must be true, shehe hanazir megalech al maga'u masa, that a nazir who touches it or bears its weight should have to shave his hair and start again. Now, Rabbi Kiva is just focusing on the maga and masa because he's just saying he's trying to make a very simple equation. Simple, classic kol v'chomer. A less potent source of tuma is the bone fragment. The more potent source of tuma is the revius of blood. Why is one more potent than the other? Because revius of blood does everything that a bone fragment does, plus conveys tuma by means of ohel, whereas the bone fragment does not. So clearly, blood in proper amount, a revius, is more potent than bone fragment in its proper amount, meaning just in any amount, whatever, in a big as a bone fragment at least the size of barley corn. So simple klal v'chomer. If the bone fragment by touching or lifting makes a person who's a nazir have to start again, so too, the blood by touching or lifting, magra masa, should require the nazir to have to shave his hair and start again. Simple klal v'chomer. Truth is, Rabbi Akiva would say the same is true for ohel, but we're putting that aside. Either because he doesn't want to go beyond that, or some learn that Rabbi Akiva held that while the ohel mechanism for blood is a halacha l'mosh mesina, that it doesn't require the nazir to work. So some learn, okay, Rabbi Akiva says fine, halacha l'mosh mesina, that the nazir doesn't go for ohel with the revius of blood to have to start again, but that's not the case by mago masa, direct contact or lifting its weight, which should be the same at least as the less potent source of toma, the bone fragment. So now Rabbi Eliezer is going to push back and say, Rabbi Eliezer, no, you're not correct. Now, to understand why, I want to make sure something's clear here. The starting point of this klal v'chomer, that even a bone fragment, if you touch it or bear its weight, makes the nazir have to start again, how do we know that? We know that from a halacha l'moshe Sinai all to itself. So actually, this is, I'll call this a third halacha l'moshe Sinai. Why is that the case? Because the pasuk that tells us that the specifically, corpse tumah sets the nazir back to start again. As a contrast, if he becomes a zav or a mitzvah, we saw he doesn't start again. Touches a sheretz, doesn't start again. But corpse tumah, yes, is based on the pasuk which says al nefesh meis lo yavo. He can't come into, well, I don't know, the precinct of the corpse. So yavo, come into the zone of it, is understood to referring to corpses which can, or significant portions thereof, which can convey tuma just by being in their precinct, presence, and by means of ohel. So fine. So we understand that things that convey, when a person gets exposed to a corpse by means of ohel, and he's a nazir, he has to start again. But touching a bone fragment, which cannot convey tuma by ohel, bone fragments only by maga masa, so how do we know that a nazir has to start again? Because that is the din. So that's another halacha l'mosh mesinai. So if you're keeping track here, we may have as many as three separate distinct halachos l'mosh mesinai in this Mishnah, being referenced directly or indirectly. The first is that the revius of blood, although it makes you tummy, doesn't make the nazir start again. The second is that a person who's exposed to revius of dam doesn't have to bring a korban if he goes to the base of Mikdash, not a nazir, just a regular person. And number three, that a bone fragment the size of a barley corn, if one touches it, and he's a nazir, he has to start again. That's a third halach l'mosh mesinai. So to that, Rabbi Eliezer says, Rabbi Akiva, I'm sorry, but I'm not accepting your kol v'chomer. Maze Akiva, what Akiva are you thinking? What are you doing? What are you talking about? Ein danin kan mekol v'chomer. You can't apply a kol v'chomer over here. And this is a fascinating point. Rabbi Eliezer is saying, listen, the halacha that a bone fragment that touches a nazir forces him to start again his count, or if he bears away through masa, that's halacha l'mosh mesinai. And a kol v'chomer is not logic. It's not just, something that's just compelling logically. It's one of the Yud Gimel Midos Torah Nedreshes Behen. It's one of the ways, specific ways, 13 ways, let's call them, that the Torah is data from the Torah, information from the Torah, halachas from the Torah, it's extrapolated. And that's not about logic. It's encoded in the Torah by means of, it's not illogical, but the mechanism by which one extracts halacha through the Torah, so the Midos Torah Nedreshes Behen, like Kol V'Chomer, is not logic, it's something else. My metaphor, my analogy is that when I was a kid, they used to, on the back of cereal boxes, have a little secret, quote-unquote, secret messages and a code. And then inside the cereal box was this decoder ring, which told you, how to translate the code from the random letters to the letters that send the message. So the point is, using the decoder ring you're not decoding the message by means of logic, not deduction or something like that. It's simply, there's a decoder ring, and since the author of the code created a decoder ring, so the decoder ring is the legitimate way and the proper way to decode the message. You could imagine if a person were a very clever author, he could make two messages hidden in the same, code, and two decoder rings and to interpret it in two different ways. And that's what Hashem did. Hashem basically embedded in the Torah Shebichsav, the written Torah, the ability to be extracted with 13 different decoder rings, the 13 different midos, so that's how many there are. So that's fine, but the point is, it's not logic. So that's just a decoder ring that applies to the Torah Shebichsav, the Torah text. And the rule that a bone fragment causes the nazir to have to start again his count if the nazir does magra masa with the bone fragment, that's not written in the Chumash anywhere. It's not Torah Shebechsav. That's Torah Shebaalpeh. That's part of the Halacha L'Moshe Mesinai. And you can't apply the Midosh HaTorah Nedarsin, such as Kol V'Chomer, to Torah Shebaalpeh. Again, the punchline here, which takes some further explaining perhaps, but the punchline is that a Kol V'Chomer is not just logic. And therefore, it can't apply to something where it doesn't apply, like Torah Shebaalpeh. And therefore, says Rabbi Eliezer to Rabbi Akiva, so therefore, you just can't make this Kol V'Chomer, which you're saying makes logical sense, perhaps, but this isn't about logic. Midosh HaTorah Nedarsin are not logic, and therefore you can't apply that decoder ring of a Kol V'Chomer to Halacha L'Moshe Mesinai, that the bone fragment sets the Nazir back. Now, Rabbi Akiva, I guess, went to his other Rebbe. He had two Rebbeim, Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Eliezer. So Rabbi Eliezer said no. He went to Rabbi Yeshua, and he says, U'keshabasi vehirtseisi devarim lifnei Rabbi Yeshua. Rabbi Akiva reports, I also tried to convince Rabbi Yeshua of my Kol V'Chomer, that we should be allowed to learn out from the bone fragment exposure, that it should apply to reset the Kohen. So too, the blood exposure should force the Nazir. The bone fragment exposure through Magra Masa should require, since just as that requires the Nazir to start his count again, so too a revius of blood exposure by Magra Masa, at least, should require the Nazir to start his count again. Amar li yafa Marta, and Rabbi Yeshua said to Rabbi Akiva, what you said is true and good. That means your Kol V'Chomer stands, it's true. Ela kein amru halacha. The thing is, this is a halacha. So the Pashup Shah reading is that they're saying the exact same thing, and what you're saying sounds nice by logic, but you can't apply logic in this context because it's not about logic, it's a Kol V'Chomer, and Kol V'Chomer not logical. The Gra explains in Eli Rabba and Yadayim, Perek Gimel there, that actually they're not saying the exact same thing. Okay, and this is pretty interesting to me. Rabbi Eliezer said, as I said before, a Kol V'Chomer simply doesn't apply to Torah Shebaalpeh, which was what we're dealing with over here, so therefore you can't get off the ground. Rabbi Yeshua says you could apply the logic of Kol V'Chomer to a Torah Shebaalpeh, so you could apply it to the Halacha L'Moshe Mesinai we have, that the bone fragment does set the Nazir back also. It's just that we have a halacha. In other words, we have like a Halacha L'Moshe Mesinai, which tells us no. It tells us no, the revius of blood doesn't set the Nazir back. And therefore, although your logic and your drasha is compelling, we have a Halacha L'Moshe Mesinai that's not true. So of course we defer to our tradition, the Halacha L'Moshe Mesinai, and therefore, which says not true. So then, again, that will be the halacha, presumably, that a person who, a nazir who touches a revius of blood or lifts it, does not start again, notwithstanding the fact that it, you know, I'll call it, quote-unquote, logic would tell you otherwise.